Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, we'll have a short year-end call-in for some of you to express gratitude to a stranger. The question is, what's the biggest or littlest thing a stranger has done for you in 2019? It's your stories from 2019 of a stranger doing something for you that you would like to thank them for on the air as kind of a holiday greeting to someone you'll probably never see again. 212-433-WNYC if you have a story like that. 212-433-9692. The reason I ask is because of a beautiful story on Gothamist right now about a woman who left her purse on the subway and what happened after that. And I'll talk briefly to that woman in a minute. And then we'll hear some of your stories if you want to call one in. So we're opening the phones now. It's a year-end call-in for the biggest or littlest thing a stranger has done for you in 2019. You're invited to call in and give them a holiday shout-out on the air. Who knows, they might even be listening. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Did a stranger do something for you this year that took some effort? It's one thing for somebody to open up a door for you or pick something up you dropped right in front of them, right? Or even give up a seat on the train. You can call with those too. But it's another thing for a stranger to do something that takes 10 minutes or that makes them physically uncomfortable. Did a stranger do something for you this year that took some effort from them or put them in some kind of discomfort? 212-433-9692. There's actually a Reddit thread from this year that has a few stories like that. The thread is called, "What's the nicest thing a stranger has ever done for you in New York?" And these are from this May, and I'm going to read two short ones from this Reddit thread. They both have to do with cars, as it turns out. And one says, "I was waiting on roadside assistance in Brooklyn because my car had a dead battery. A very kind man stopped in the rain to offer a jump because he saw the jumper cables hanging off my car." So that made him a little uncomfortable. He was in the rain. And the other is a little more extreme. "Dropped my car keys in a snowbank on my block. Didn't realize it till hours later when the doorman brought them up to me. Random neighbor who had seen me parking outside my building in the past found the keys, went to every building on the street, described me in my car until he found where I lived and left the keys." And so a commenter said, "That's awesome," and took some real work. So there are those from that Reddit thread about people doing nice things for them in New York. And those took some effort or physical discomfort. Who has a story? Now here's the Gothamist story. On Gothamist right now, it says, "On Monday, Ashley Patrick exited a downtown Q train at Herald Square, realizing only as the doors trundled shut that her bag was still on board. Frantic, she called in commuter Twitter, sending out an alert to the MTA." And guess what? Ashley Parker, that person, joins me now to tell us more of her story. Hi, Ashley. Thanks for coming on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell us what happened. You got off a Q train at 34th Street and what?
I did. So I was headed down downtown on the Q with my son. And, you know, we were sort of laden with things, and I had this backpack, and we were in layers and coats, and I had my bag, and sort of like a typical wintertime commuter vignette. And he was resting on my bag on the seat, and I guess I slipped it off my arm, and when we got off at Herald Square, I reached for my bag, and it wasn't there, and it was just as the train pulled away, and I, you know, panicked. I'm like, oh, gosh, what do I do? So, Oh, you've just cut out.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Who did you notify and what did you say?
Well, first I tried the MTA lost property form on the MTA website, and it doesn't work very well on mobile. So it was getting a little frustrating trying to do that. We tried to catch up with the Q on a local W train, which, of course, didn't work. We got to Union Square, and then we had to go down to Bleecker to get the F for our transfer again. And I had talked to my husband in the meantime. I was like, what do I do? Oh, my gosh, all my stuff. And I, you know, racing through my mind, trying to remember what's in the bag. Luckily, I'd moved my phone into my coat pocket at some point. So I had that on me. So my husband just said, you know, come home, we'll figure it out. And I think we were down at East Broadway waiting for the F. And I was like, well, you know, I could try tweeting it out. And I think the most I ever have is, you know, maybe 10 or 15 people who respond to my tweets and, you know, friends and colleagues and friends of friends. And there's a, you know, but maybe somebody will retweet it and somebody riding the Q train will have seen my bag or, you know, best case scenario, picked it up and turned it in would be great.
It's
so that
amazing.
Was about what I was expecting.
It's amazing that you even did that because it's like, what are the odds, right?
Right. So I did that. And it sort of immediately started making its way across the city, that tweet, and was picking up more momentum than I'd ever seen a tweet do in my hands. And so we got on the train and we came home, and you know, I got in the house and was trying to sort of plan my attack of what to do first, and you know, call and cancel my cards or. Make a list of what was in the bag from memory and fill that stuff. And I was trying to relay the story to my husband. And then I got a call from a Pennsylvania number. And normally I wouldn't have answered an out-of-state number that I didn't know because usually it's a spam or a scam.
Yeah.
In these days. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe somebody saw my bag, so I'm going to pick it up. And sure enough, a young man had been riding the Q train out to a place in further out in Brooklyn, and he saw my bag and he grabbed it and he took it home with him. And you know, he said, "Can you come pick it up?"
So, did he see your ID in the bag, or was he the recipient of some of this viral social media?
He actually had not seen the tweet at all, and I think by the time I got home, it had made its way, you know, through several thousand people, but he didn't see it.
There's really two good stranger stories here. There's the guy who found your bag and mm-hmm. returned it to you rather than kept it. And there's thousands of people who liked and retweeted your tweet.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really, you know, an enormous display of goodwill and neighborly good feeling. So it was, you know, it was super touching and a little overwhelming and in several ways.
And Gothamist says your purse returner guy also was having tough times and social media took care of him a little bit too?
Yeah. So he asked that we come out to his stop to pick up the bag. And I have three kids and it was dinner time and bedtime. So my husband went out to meet him. And he said that he'd been out of work and he had just started working again. He has a young baby and couldn't afford the fare to come meet us. And he was apologetic about that. And it was like, you know, you've really done enough just by picking up my bag and keeping it safe. So
a lot
of people on the Twitter thread were asking, you know, could they help replace my bag? My husband just lost his job, which I, you know, was cried out in that in that tweet, which I was a little embarrassed about later. But we all go through things.
People
were asking, you know, could they help? And I didn't want to take the help, but this nice person who found my bag seemed like he could really use it. So I tweeted out his Venmo, and apparently he's been, you know, getting some assistance, and it's really made a difference for his family.
Strangers started Venmoing him money.
Yeah, which is really, I mean, just so kind and such a nice thank you for doing a good deed for me, a stranger.
It's such a great story. So, Ashley, does this experience feel consistent with how strangers treat each other in New York, in your experience, or more like an exception?
You know, I think a lot of times we're so crowded here, and everything's so busy and moves so fast and so loud, and so we try to keep to our own small bubbles when we're out and about. And a lot of times we can ignore the people around us, you know, even become resentful, I think, of how packed in we are sometimes. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the norm, but I think that it happens often enough when we stop and look around ourselves and see the other humans there and maybe see that somebody could use a seat if they're struggling with bags or children or you know, disability issues or things like that.
Well, judging from how many people are calling in with their own stories of strangers doing something for them this year, maybe it's not all that uncommon. We're glad you got your bag back. Happy whatever holiday you celebrate. And thanks so much for a few minutes on the air.
Thanks so much, Brian.
And we'll take some of your stories right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. All right, what's the biggest or littlest thing a stranger has done for you in 2019? Isabel in Summit, you're on WNYC. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, good morning.
What's your story?
So I'm a Brazilian, American-Brazilian, so I went to my consulate in New York to get a document that I need. And so coming back home by train, I realized I forgot the envelope in some place in the subway. I don't know if it was inside of the subway or I don't know where. So I got to the train back to New York again. I went back all my steps and I couldn't find the envelope. I was very upset because I'm a dog walker. I cannot, go to the consulate again and spend more 2 hours there or something like that. So I got home, I asked my husband to go there to the consulate again to get the documents. And what happened was like 2 or 3 days after, another envelope came to my home because inside of the thing had my address on. The envelope didn't have anything on that, but inside was my address. So I opened the mailbox and came this envelope with my name and address. And inside was the envelope I lost.
Huh.
And I never could, thank you the person because it has no,
return address. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you have.
It was great and amazing.
Isabel, thank you so much. Juliet in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Juliet.
Hi, Brian. What a privilege. I just want to stay in August. I suffered a mild stroke, and I was admitted to Beth Israel Hospital in Newark. And the doctors and the nurses and all, they were so kind. But one that stand out is the neurosurgeon that came at midnight to take a look at me and see how things were going. So I just want to give a shout out to all the people that work at Beth Israel, from the top to the bottom. What a great job they did. So that is my story for 2019.
That's such
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Juliet. And that is such a nice story. And of course, medical professionals have a professional relationship with you, so they're getting paid. But they are strangers, right? And sometimes, I can totally relate to Juliet's story, sometimes one is just so human in doing their jobs, even more than the others, and they're generally, medical professionals. They go into that job because they want to be in the helping professions, and yet sometimes there's that one. Kelly in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a story about a woman who rescued my son. I had left our apartment in Astoria, and we live on the second floor, and I had left my 2-year-old son with my husband to take my dog for a walk, and my husband didn't realize that my 2-year-old had followed us down the stairs, and my dog and I had already left around the corner. He couldn't see us, but he made it out the doors, and he was standing on our stoop, and I think when he realized that he was all alone, he started to panic, and this very kind woman who was just happened to be on our street, on 47th Street in Astoria, she came to his rescue, and she waited with him, and she rang the doorbells until she found my husband, who came to him. And I can't thank her enough because it's such a scary situation. But what is also kind of funny in a tragic situation is that she waited until I returned with my dog so that she could relay the story to me. And in turn, you know, my husband got a little bit of a scolding. But
wow.
So, yeah, we're so grateful for her wherever she is because, you know, she really rescued us.
So was the scolding a bonus? Excuse me, a bonus? In your eyes, or mind your own business.
Yes.
Help my kid, then mind your own business. No, the scolding was a bonus. Kelly, thank you so much. All right, one more. Suzanne in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Suzanne.
Oh, hi, Brian. I'm so happy to be able to tell the story. I live on the Upper West Side, and it was New Year's Day 1 year ago, and I was in a great mood walking up to do some shopping. Broadway has two lanes, you know, uptown, downtown, and there are benches on a little place in the middle where you can sit. I was walking, and walking briskly, I will admit, I took an incredible fall, like one of those falls that, oh, my God, I immediately knew I did something bad. And I was writhing in pain. People were standing around me not knowing what to do. She looked like an angel to me, and she turned out to be one. She moved everyone away gently, and she got me up on the bench with quite a bit of trouble, reached in her bag, called for an ambulance. The ambulance came. She told them how to position me that I would be in less pain. They went to Lenox Hill Hospital with me. Jody is her name. She came to the emergency room, stayed with me for several hours, talking about her life and asking me questions.
Hours?
About 2 hours she stayed with me, yes, because it was crowded and I was shaking so hard she was holding me. It was such a shock in every way. The outcome was that I said, oh, you have to go, Jody. She told me she was here visiting her sister who had fallen running up the subway stairs.
Wow.
And she said, No, I convinced her to go. I said, how far do you have to go? She gave me the address, which is directly across the street from my building in Manhattan in the 70s.
How do you like that?
And I was just so taken with it that when I was able to, I had to have a total hip replacement. She did check up on me, and about 3 weeks later, I had a little party for her. I invited her across the street, and I had goodies and wine, and we cried when we saw each other, and I told her she was my guardian angel forever.
Yeah, and she gave you all that time, 2 hours. Suzanne, we're out of time, but thank you for that wonderful story.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's a great way to end the segment of things that strangers have done for you in 2019.